I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, first things first, I've missed you so much. Boy, and over the holiday week and weekends, we had recorded shows, and I thought about you, and I thought, I cannot wait to get back live to connect with you. So it's so great to be with you. Always honored every single day to show up and do this faith journey with you. So you're going to love how I start today's question. You ready? How would you describe your relationship with food? How about sugar? Well, my guest today says that sugar is a stronghold for many people. So how do you know if you're addicted to sugar? Well, don't worry. There's no condemnation in the show today, but there's definitely an invitation to explore what might happen if you dare to make some space and room to trust God on a deeper level. Wendy Speak joins me today to talk about her best-selling book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. And we're going to get her on in a moment. Yay, Steve, good to see you as well. We're going to get Wendy on in a moment. In fact, I'll tell you, we've got a handful of copies of The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. And one of my friends, good friend, did this 40-day fast last January, and she said it was absolutely life-altering. So if you want in on the drawing, text the word. I'm sorry. We have the most amazing listeners. Sherry writes in, oh boy, just as I'm eating a cookie. All right. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. But here I've got insider's information for you. We've got a live event next Thursday with Dr. Troy at our radio station in the atrium. We're doing our live show with a live studio audience, only 45 seats available. We're going to talk about getting healthy. We're going to talk about the emotional implications or the physiological implications of our emotions and just some easy, not easy, but doable health hacks so that you can move forward in your health. So all the seats are free, but there's only 45 available, and there's nothing about it on our website. This is why I'm saying this is insider information. If you want to register or even want more information on the event, it's a week from this Thursday, so it's next Thursday. Text just the word event. No quotes, no exclamation point, just the word text event to this number, 877-933-2484. Now, let me tell you about my guest. Boy, I've missed you. You guys are hilarious. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Wendy Speak is the author of The 40-Day Sugar Fast, also The 40-Day Social Media Fast, which we'll have to revisit during the Lenten season. Also co-authored the book Triggers, Exchanging Parents' Angry Reactions for Gentle Biblical Responses. She hosts her annual online 40-Day Sugar Fast every January and 40-Day Social Media Fast every Lent. She lives in Escondido, California. Wendy, great to talk with you again. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be back with you and your listeners. They are a fun, engaged group, aren't they?
They so are. I miss them so much. I just laughed. I'm trying to be serious here. Oh, right, as I'm eating a cookie. Well, Sherry, yeah. Enjoy your cookie, but then you're going to engage in this fast. So, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But I'd love to know, Wendy, I know you're someone who loves God and loves His Word. What has He been speaking about these days?
Goodness, He's been pretty vocal. I think I go through seasons where I open the Word, and it really is just a very personal communication where He's saying, you know, I know this was in context thousands of years ago, but in the context of your life, I also want to speak into exactly where you're at. And it's just a very loving communication. And I felt that during the holiday season. I had multiple messages that I heard from pastors on Luke 2:10, where the angel says, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And we've been in a really hard season. Like, I'm still in it, so it's hard to even say that without crying. It's just been a really hard season in our family.
So sorry.
And so this promise that Emmanuel, God with us, is good news that should cause great joy for me in my life. right now in this season has just been blowing my mind, and it's been reminding me of that Psalm verse, Psalm 51:12, which is really my heart's cry right now. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And I think that I'm just so grateful God's word is leading me to truth when in hard seasons I can just kind of slump down and forget what's true. But his word reminds me, his spirit reminds me.
I'm just going to pray for you right now, if it's okay, Wendy. I know that place of army crawling through the valley. I know it so well. And Father, I just lift up my dear sister Wendy to you, and I thank you, God, that you are Emmanuel. You are so with us, Lord God, and you say a bruised reed you'll not break and a smoldering wick you'll not crush out. And that reminds me that just picturing you cupping your hands around Wendy and her family, just breathing a fresh breath of God, the wind of the Spirit into their life, into their story and their situation, and that you, God, would stretch out your hand against their foes and keep the enemy far removed from them. And I just pray you'd heal and guard and guide and provide in every way that they need it. And we commit this time to you now. And just and hold the weight of the pain that she's feeling. Just hold it for her, I pray. And and we just commit it this time to you now in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I didn't show up here thinking that I was going to be poured into. So that was a real blessing to me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I will be remembering you, Andy, because again, I know that all too well. And it, as much as you're comfortable, I'd love a little backstory on your relationship to sugar, and specifically how it intersected with your relationship to the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my relationship with sugar. I mean, I think every single person listening right now could tell you a story. And, you know, whether it was my parents were divorced, both parents were working, I would come home from school and, you know, I'd pull out that half-eaten tub of Betty Crocker icing from the back of the fridge or whatever it is that we went to when we were happy or when we were sad, when we were alone or when we were celebrating with family. And I think that just early on, we turned to sugar in our emotions and in our days, in our boredom, or in our, like I said, celebrations. And it's become a part of our story. And I think as we get older and we get into the rhythms of real life, it's easy to develop a pattern or really grow even stronger in that pattern of turning to sugar, of turning the car literally into the Starbucks drive-thru because, man, we just need a win on the way home. So a latte, or, you know, one of their lemon loaf cakes, or we turn into Chick-fil-A for some sweet tea because it'll just get us the pep. It'll just give us the heart happiness, that dopamine release. Or at night, getting the kids down at the end of the night, and we just need a win, so it's a bowl of ice cream. And I think that still our story is that we turn to, we come to, we run to our pantries, our freezers, our food, to help us cope with everyday life. And yet the invitation from Jesus was so clear. When you're weary and heavy laden, you come to me and I will give you rest. I'll give you comfort rather than comfort food. I'd like to be the one to give you comfort. So that's a little bit of my story, is that I grew up turning to sugar and it just matured as I matured, but it didn't actually stop. It just changed a little bit what I turned to.
And you said you came to a point, though, that you went online and said, hey, I'm Wendy, and I'm a sugar addict. What did you think was going to happen when you did that?
I know that you post on social media, and I bet you that you and I could have a real conversation that the things that we have said, not expecting the wildfire that we were going to start, have been the things that really shaped the main messages that God's given us, not the gee, Lord, I'd really like to write a book about X, Y, and Z, but it's been what feels almost accidental. So yes, I was actually ministering to a group of moms who were struggling with short-tempered, angry reactions with their kids whom they love. And I just off the cuff, unplanned one day, said, what would happen if we laid down sugar for 40 days? Because I was getting to the place where my stomach was hurting. I was carrying a little extra weight, not a lot, but enough that it was slowing me down and I wasn't sleeping well. My back was hurting. but my emotions were up and down and all around. So I said in this Facebook group, what would happen if we laid it down for 40 days? And I love that you're going to have that live event next week, because it's a great conversation to have about what's going on physiologically in our body as we turn to sugar. But it wasn't just a physical detox. It really became a spiritual fast. And I didn't even have time to plan it as such. The Lord just led us in a spiritual journey. And so what started as that physical detox, let's see if we can be consistent and kind and calm with our kids, maybe even more Christ-like. We all discovered, oh my goodness, this is a spiritual journey. When I stop running from sugar high to get me through my days and my parenting or my marriage or my work, we start running to the Most High. And He doesn't just change our diet. That might be where it starts, but He changes our lives.
Wow. So when we come back, I want you to talk a little bit more about what happens physiologically in our brain, in our bodies, when we go to turn to sugar fixes time and time again. And how do you know if sugar is a stronghold in your life? If you're truly addicted, what are some signs that you might be addicted to sugar? Mary Jane writes in, I did the sugar fast 2 years ago with Wendy on Instagram in the book, and I'm still sugar-free to this day. Praise God. That is amazing, Mary Jane. I would like you to text in some more. Tell us what you learned. What was it like? And we'll talk with Wendy about that as well. Wendy Speak is my guest today, the 40-day sugar fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. Maybe you're tired of feeling that wired, tired feeling or that buzzed feeling, and you're exhausted all the time. Maybe it's time to do the 40-day sugar fast. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Though the mountains may be moving to the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Whatever you're walking through right now, you need to know, because you belong to Jesus, it's going to be okay. You're going to overcome because He overcame. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Wendy Speak is my guest today. We're talking about her book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. She writes this, there's something about sugar that has a grip on us, and we know it. We run to sugar for our comfort and our reward. We turn to it in boredom. We depend on it when life is stressful. We crave it when we're depressed and use it as a confectionery therapy. And even when life is at its best, what do? We celebrate with cake. It's true. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Oh, another person texted in to get in the drawing for the book and said, and I am also eating a cookie. You know, maybe 3 o'clock is the time to listen to the show and eat a cookie. I don't know. But Wendy, how does a person know, you know, if maybe they dabble in a little sugar here and there and they actually have a full-blown addiction to sugar?
You know, it's funny, the section that you just read from the book, you said there's something about sugar that has a hold on us, and we know it. And so my answer to your question is, and I will give an answer to your question, but first just take a moment on that "and we know it" statement. I think that there's just an awareness. Yeah, I'm going to sugar for the wrong reasons. I think we know it. So as far as do we have an addiction, man, that's a big word. You know, that's a heavy word to call something an addiction. But you had asked before the break, physiologically, what's going on? And when we start considering physiologically what's going on, that word addiction isn't quite so lofty. It actually makes sense. Our bodies have come to depend on sugar to give us an emotional sense of well-being, to help us calm down when we're having stress because it releases dopamine, to wake us up because it gives us a little caffeine. So there are many ways that our bodies have become dependent upon sugar to help us cope with various things in our lives. And yet I come back to that quote, and we know it. I think there's just a deep knowing Yeah, I turn to it too much. And as for 3 p.m., I think that's hilarious. I didn't even put two and two together when I was hopping on this call with you that it's 3 o'clock. But I say in the book, and I've told people for years, 3 o'clock, that's the time of day for me that I would head to the pantry and find that half-eaten bag of chocolate chips in the back of the pantry and take a few just to get me over the hump. And oftentimes the kids are still napping. For those of you that are stay-at-home moms or grandmas that are watching the kids for the afternoon, and there's something about that just getting over the hump of the afternoon. Just give me a little bit of energy to get through to dinner and bedtime. So I think that 3 o'clock is something serious. It's a real thing.
Okay, just for fun, just a, you know, an impromptu, informal poll. How many of you at this minute are either munching on something sweet or drinking some caffeine? I just got to know, just for the fun. Just text in, I am, or me too. I want to know, 877-933-2484. You know, it might be, I think sometimes we're surprised at how sugar is in more items than we probably think. I mean, because I've heard people mm-hmm. say, you know, I don't really eat sweets, so I don't have a sugar addiction. Although when you take inventory of the diet, there is a lot of sugar in the stuff that they consume. And I would just, full disclosure, I put caramel almond milk creamer in my one cup of coffee every morning. So I am not sugar-free. I'll just tell you that right now. But I don't overdo it on the sweets, but I do am well aware that there are, you know, there are carbs in some of the things that I eat. But all that to say, talk about maybe what might surprise us about the amount of sugar that we consume.
Yeah, there is a lot. Now, in the book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, and in our annual fast that we do together as a community, we actually don't count sugar grams. There isn't a to-do list or a to-don't list, a to-eat list or a to-not-eat list. Because it is a fast, it's a very private thing that between each person and the Lord. And my encouragement is always, instead of focusing on what you shouldn't eat or what you think you maybe shouldn't eat, take the details of the fast to the Lord and really make it more about, rather than the grams of sugar, make it about, what am I running to in lieu of running to you, Lord? What am I turning to? What am I coming to in lieu of taking you up on your invitation to come to me? So that's really where we start. Now, that said, the first time I did this sugar fast, it started for me as, I'm just going to lay down all those refined sugars, the obvious sugars. I'm not going to be baking cookies. I'm not going to be having a chocolate mocha coffee drink on a chilly afternoon. I'm not going to be going to that handful of chocolate chips or that childhood tub of Betty Crocker frosting. I'm not going to be doing those things. But I remember I went to In-N-Out with my husband for a burger and French fries. And I tell you, I was practically doing a shot of ketchup with every French fry I had. And Matt, my husband, he said, Wendy, slow down, girl.
Oh,
he said, you do know that there's sugar in ketchup. And I was like, no wonder it tasted so good. Mm. So because we don't make this into like the Whole 30 diet or a specific diet, I put down on my personal list, this is what I'm avoiding because these are the things I know I go to on an emotional basis for emotional needs, to meet my needs. But in the process, I realized that the things I started turning to is because I also had a physical dependency on sugar as well. And that's why I started to crave things like ketchup. So I'm a little bit more aware now when I start my own sugar fast. But some of the people that join me, you know, this is the silly part, is they lay down Diet Dr. Pepper. They lay down stevia. They lay down a lot of things that aren't traditional refined sugars because they realize or have come to realize over the years of fasting, I am turning to that thing for the same reason and with the same passion that I turn to the cookie at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to make me feel better. But Jesus, I want to develop a hunger and a thirst for you. I want to desire you to make me feel better. I want to experience you getting me through the afternoon, not Diet Dr. Pepper, not the low-cal sweet tea from Chick-fil-A?
I have so many questions. This is one of those days I wish we had a two-hour show just because there's so much more I want to ask you, and I'm watching my clock here. I want to ask you this. On the other side of the break, friends, we're going to talk about how to lay out that fast, and I love how you make it so unique to each person to really look at what are your default comfort foods, what are your go-tos, and then what to expect. What are some of the physiological responses, and how do you encounter God in those places? We're going to cover all that in just a few minutes, but just a few practical questions here. This dear listener says, I gave up wine January 1st and my sugar cravings have gone through the roof in the evening. I sure could use this book. Explain as much as you're able, and I can maybe speak to it a little bit as well, why that happened by giving up wine, why his sugar cravings have gone through the roof.
Oh, man. I thank you so much for being bold enough, courageous enough to leave that comment. We talk about alcohol. Some years we talk about it as much as we talk about just traditional sugar. I was talking to one woman and she said that she knew she needed to do the sugar fast because she started reaching for sugar in the same way that she used to reach for alcohol. And she's a recovered alcoholic now, or a sober alcoholic. And I thought that was so interesting. And she told me the story that she used to keep her bottles of wine and vodka above her fridge, so up high, where nobody else in the family was going and reaching. And she said she realized years later that she would hide her Girl Scout cookies or whatever her sweet treat was. She would hide it in the same place she used to hide her wine. And we were talking, and I said, I love that you are reaching up, but I think you just need to reach a little bit higher. And so that's my spiritual response. Now, the physiological response is that that alcohol is made up of sugar, and it turns to sugar in your belly. It's a liquid form of sugar. And so if you take out that sugar, it's like me doing shots of ketchup. Your body still is craving it. Now, you might be running to the wine because it also gives that relaxation in your muscles at the end of the day. It helps you to calm down, take a load off. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so even at 3 o'clock here, you can justify having a glass of wine, and you have all these alcohol-induced benefits. But when we say goodbye to that, our body is still craving the help to get us over the stress or just the daily rigmarole that we need a little bit of muscle to get us through.
Yeah, and then there's that whole neuro association, like for this gal who was an alcoholic. You know, she reached up to that cupboard for alcohol. Well, then she replaced it with cookies. There's this exact same neural pathway going, I'm not comfortable, I'm not trusting God right now, so I'm going to reach for a quick comfort. And so again, friends, this isn't even at all about legalism. It really is about an invitation to go, you know what? I'm going to turn away from the stuff that I've been looking to for a faux comfort so that I can really encounter the Comforter, the Prince of Peace. So on the other side, we're going to talk about how does this fast help you engage with God and encounter Him? And what are some of the physiological responses you might experience along the way? More with Wendy Speak in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I picked that song because you might be thinking, as we're talking about sugar fasts, there's no way I can't get there from here. There's no way I can do it, but you can. And you will, if God invites you to it, and you feel like you're addicted, He is inviting you to it. You will experience a freedom that you never knew possible. Talking to Wendy Speak today, her book, best-selling book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. And she says, fasting is merely denying yourself something temporal and ordinary in order to experience the one who is eternally extraordinary. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. Maybe it's a great way for you to kick off your new year. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Wendy, kind of let's circle back again and talk about that this fast may look different for each person. It may not be a one-size-fits-all solution and proposition.
It absolutely looks different in every single life. Except one thing, and that is I hear over and over and over again, oh my word, I thought I was going to lose weight, and maybe I did, but I gained faith. I grew so much in my faith. And I hear from women who have never opened the Bible and have come to faith during this fast. So please, if you're listening to this and you've thought, well, I'd love to do this with my friends, but they're not believers, this is the most seeker-friendly spiritual journey you can invite a friend on, really, truly. But also for my friends who write me and say, oh my word, my father was a pastor, I married a pastor, I run the women's ministry, and I've never had 40 days of enjoying God's presence like this before. So those are the things that it is a one-size-fits-all. Like everybody has some version of that experience. But the actual fast is very unique for each person. And at the start of every time we do a community fast, I get nervous. Oh, no, they're going to want me to tell them what to eat. Oh, no, they're going to want me to tell them what not to eat. And I say, take it to the Lord. He is going to speak to you so clearly because he always does. And I love that you just said that God, if God's inviting you, say yes. And as you said that, I thought of that popular phrase, if God invites you to it, he's going to bring you through it. He really is. It's a catchy, pithy thing to say, but he does that when he calls us to something. If his Holy Spirit is stirring in your spirit, like, oh, I know I need this. I just can't imagine actually going 40 days without sugar. I would say do a radical yes. Give him a radical yes, almost like a, okay, God, I'll say yes, but it's going to have to be you. So prove yourself in my life that you've called me to it and you're going to bring me through it. I can't wait to see you work.
And make no mistake about it, especially to the degree that you're immersed in a sugar, high sugar diet. And the American yes. diet is so high carb, which is so devastating to our health. And really, it increases our capacity or our chances for cancer, type 2 diabetes, so many mm-hmm. other things. So this is not a joke. I mean, truly, we are, you know, with all the access we have to health resources, I don't mean this to sound doom and gloom, but we are more unhealthy as a nation than we've ever been. I mean, really, yeah. I mean, when you think of the obesity related illnesses, and even if you're not obese, a high carb diet is devastating to your health. So to the degree that you're immersed in a high carb, like high sugar diet, this will be difficult at first, but the people that go through these kinds of fasts, once you kind of get through the tunnel of chaos in your body, mm-hmm. it's like, what are we doing? And you get to the other side, people say they sleep better, they have mental clarity, their metabolism kicks in, even their sex drive. I will just say, people will say that it just awakens because the systems that have been numbed out and numbed kind of offline kind of turn on again. And so maybe talk about, just so people have a realistic picture of what may happen physically, what you may feel, and then how you can connect with God spiritually during those more difficult times.
Yes. Well, let's start with the hard. The hard really is, I'm just going to say on average that first week, but just as Susie mentioned, the more high sugar your diet is, and she's mentioned now a couple times about carbohydrates, those simple carbs, they break down into sugar in your gut. So you're going to have the same sort of inflammation in your joints and sleeplessness and neck pain, foggy brain and stuff like that. So when I personally do the sugar fast, and I don't always share this with my fasting friends, I do what's a traditionally carb-free diet. I mean, I still have carbohydrates and natural fruits and vegetables that are full of, you know, healthy carbs as well and some complex carbs. But I take out my breads. I take out my rices and things like that. And so my body really is not breaking down a bunch of sugar. It's not letting sugar fuel my body. And as you say no to specifically all those candy bars that you grab at the checkout line and the lattes from Starbucks, it's very common to have a headache and to feel sluggish. And I remember the first year that I did this sugar fast, I thought I was going to experience so much joy. I'm like, hello, I'm fasting. I'm going to experience joy in his presence because fasting is about turning to his presence rather than turning to what you're laying down. So I came to it with high expectations of happiness. And then that first week, I was like, man, am I ever a grouch? And I thought I was going to be so calm with my kids and everything. But I was struggling because my body really was detoxing from that dependency on sugar. So that first week, I would say, isn't fun. And when I fast now, it's not as hard on me because I have a mostly sugar-free, caffeine-free, and carb-free diet. So it's not as hard on me as it used to be. But I remember those first couple of fasts, and they make me very sensitive to those of you who are signing up for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part. But just, I don't know, it was a few years ago, I remember, I've never been a big coffee drinker, but that year I had started drinking a cup of coffee a day, just one, and even I had put it through a Keurig machine. It wasn't even the first time the pod went through. Like, it was the watered-down version of it. But I remember thinking, well, it's not that big a deal. I'm not going to have coffee during this sugar fast either, because I sweetened it with sugar. And I got headaches again because my body had grown dependent on the caffeine. And I just remember a couple takeaways from that year. The first was, I don't want to be dependent on anything other than the one I am dependent upon for this next breath, and that is my God. And so it made me happy to lay it down, even though it caused me some physical discomfort. But also during that time, it was a reminder that as I was going through those first weeks, make sure you're drinking a lot of water. Because if it is a detox, well, then cleanse your body with a lot of water. Make sure you're getting some good sleep. It's going to help you deal with that physical detox as well. And as I thought about sleeping well and eating well and drinking well, I was reminded again of God saying, come to me when you're weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. So I would say, okay, I'm going to get through these first couple of hard weeks by choosing rest. And I'm also going to choose water along with the living water. And that really leads me to the main thing, which is we're not going to crowd out sugar by eating more fruits and vegetables. We're going to naturally do it that because we're taking out other stuff. So we're going to be eating healthier food. But unlike a diet where you replace unhealthy food with healthy food, we're going to crowd out those things we're running to by running to Christ, by opening his word, by ingesting his word, by spending oodles of time, just great gobs of time in prayer, in fellowship with other Christians. And so we're going to crowd out all those hours and all that time and all that energy of turning to our pantry and turning to Starbucks by turning to him.
Nancy asked a question. So when the fast is over, then do you eat sugar occasionally, or how do you... What do you do after the fast? I mean, some, as Mary Jane had said, you know, she just never went back. Yeah. But what does the general population do after a 40-day fast like that?
Right. Well, just as there's a big variation of what people do as they fast, there's a big wide range of what people do after the fast. However, I always say, as we near the end of our fasting days, how did you feel? Did you feel healthy physically? How did you feel relationally? Were you calm and kind with your children? Did you have energy at the end of the day to enjoy your spouse? What were the benefits? And then as you gauge those benefits, make a decision on how you want to live beyond the fast. And I would say a great number of people decide, this is a lifestyle I want. And one of the last chapters, spoiler alert, I say, instead of taking time to fast from eating sugar, why don't you take breaks in living sugar-free? So you go on a trip to, I don't know, wherever you want to go on a trip to Hawaii or to, you know, Italy with your spouse, and you really have been saving and hoping and dreaming about this trip. Maybe you want to fast from your fast. You want to take a break from that sugar-free lifestyle and in moderation enjoy those things that you can enjoy on that during that holiday season or during that vacation. And then when you get home, say, but routinely, I like how I feel. Routinely, I like my spiritual life. Really, routinely, I like my physical life. And usually when I take a break, it only takes a week for me to say, oh, my word, why are my knees and my ankles aching? Why are my joints aching. Oh, that's right, I have inflammation. And I'm a pretty healthy, not large girl that eats pretty healthy, and I take my vitamins. But if I go a week during the holidays having sweet treats and making pecan pie and having a slice of it, I definitely feel it. So a lot of us live a typically sugar-free life. And I've learned to cook some nice treats where I use all-natural sweeteners. So if I'm making banana bread, I sweeten it with either honey or maple syrup, which is high in grams of sugar, but they're natural and they're not refined. And I don't have the same response to it physically or crave it every day once I've had it once. So I've found some ways personally to do that.
That's really such a good point, too. I think this is true with both alcohol and with just basic high sugar content diet, where when you immerse yourself in overconsumption, you might taste the flavors of the alcohol or of what it like. You may acquire even a taste for the different kinds of chocolates and cheesecakes. But once you get it out of your diet and then you reintroduce it, all you taste is the toxic thing, is the sugar or the alcohol. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you, because you've wiped your palate and you've almost decreased your tolerance, suddenly you're like, whoa, and it it has a different effect. So I think even just to issue a new standard, I've got a friend who, she just does not have sweets during the week. And she said, I know, and I've been a big proponent for many years and talked a lot about, it is just so important in some way, shape, or form on a regular basis to say no to our flesh and make our flesh deal with it. We can't just give our flesh everything it wants when it's not good for us. So to practice restraint in some way, shape, or form on a regular basis is actually very good for us. Now, there's a question that we want to tackle before we go to break. But a couple of people, one person texted in and said, fruit is sugar. And Chelsea also said, not necessarily true in the high-carb diet. Whole food, plant-based diet is high in carb, and it's best for you. Whole grains like rice, quinoa, barley. Like she said, flour and processed carbs are definitely bad. Right. Now, I will caveat that to say that for some, though, even those grains are too much for some people, that they have to have very minimal carbs in their diet because of inflammation or other issues. But maybe if you want to speak to that.
Well, I will speak to it just a little bit. This is part of why we keep the focus really on Christ and ingesting more of him, because everybody is different. Every body is different. Mm-hmm. And so if you really do have, if you're pre-diabetic or you're diabetic or you don't process certain foods well, really do seek the counsel of your naturopath or your nutritionalist or your doctor. That's very important. We really are going to have our eyes on Christ, not what we are eating or what we aren't eating. I say this isn't the time to go from a sugar fixation to a sugar-free fixation. This is not the time where I encourage people to say, hey, become the best whole foods cook and sugar-free sweet baker that you can. No, we're not going to even fix our eyes on that. We're going to fix our eyes on Christ, because he really is the one and the thing that when we turn to him fixes everything in our lives. So I have a son who, he really doesn't process high carb foods, even the healthy ones, well. It just turns to belly fat and eczema and anxiety. So he has to have a very low carb diet. So that's why I say everybody is different, and this really isn't so much about the specifics, but really the spiritual question is, God, what am I turning to and for what reason? And I'm going to lay it down for 40 days to invite you to take up the throne of my life again and sit there, and I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to spend time with you rather than always thinking about when I'm going to get my next sugar fix, because that sugar fix doesn't fit me, and shoving it into the hole of my mouth or the hole of my heart. I mean, so many of us eat because we've been abused, we've been abandoned, and we try to fill ourselves up and make ourselves whole, but it doesn't make us whole. It only increases the emptiness. The only one that can make us whole and in the process make us holy is the Lord. And so that's what this is about. God never invited us to fast for our lives. He says, you feast to me, you come, you consume me. I'm going to consume you too. I'm going to fill you up to overflowing. I am the living water, and you won't ever thirst for anything else again. And so we're taking God at his word, and we're putting him to the test, I guess, and saying, show me that it's true, God. Show me that when I hunger and thirst for you, that you do satisfy.
Somebody got to text me an amen to what Wendy just said. Amen and amen. We're going to pause. When we come back, friends, I'm going to ask you just a raw, honest question, which we do this every day, so you're used to getting raw and honest with me, and I appreciate that so much. Over this last 2 years, with everything sort of upending and going crazy, what have been some of your default comforts? Maybe they've been good for you, maybe they've been bad for you, but I would just love to hear from you. Will you text me, let me know, 877-933-2484. And remember, too, thank you, Steve and Nancy and other friends for being so quick. I love that. We've got a handful of copies of Wendy Speaks' book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, and really is a physical, spiritual transformation and invitation, not just about diet, as you're hearing from Wendy right now. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Wendy Speak, who wrote the best-selling book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, where physical detox meets spiritual transformation. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. You know, again, this is not legalism. This is not condemnation. It really is invitation. And as Wendy was saying earlier, we all know that our default comforts, and this isn't about slapping your hand. You know, it really is about opening your hand, saying, Lord, what is in my hand that I keep clinging to or going to that I can release to you so I can lay hold of more of you? I want you to increase my capacity for you, because, you know, the scripture says that the enemy could find nothing in Jesus, nothing on him. He kept looking for opportune times and opportunities. He never found them, because Jesus was so in tune and in touch with the Father. He gave the enemy no on-ramps, but we do all the time, and we're not perfect, and God doesn't expect us to be, but he does invite us to be transformed as we go. And this dear listener said, Susie, the last 2 years I've done nothing but comfort eat. My anxiety is out of control and have gone completely off the rails, eating more than I ever have before, and I'm diabetic. So this is causing major problems for me. Father in heaven, I just pray for this dear sister of mine. And I pray, God, that you'd prompt her loved ones, her friends, to call her, to reach out to her. And I pray, God, you'd awaken her even now. Give her a holy grit and growl to say enough with this already in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, rise up within her and give her just a holy, empowering self-control to say no to the enemy, to say yes to her health and to her future. Would you just bless her with a motivation she's never known before and give her a vision for what a healthy, healed her might look like in Jesus' name. And, you know, we look, Wendy, at the last 2 years. I mean, it is just no accident that the enemy's capitalizing on fear, on despair. And because there's so much we haven't dealt with, I've said forever that these last 2 years have been surfacing what's already been in us. You know, and we could leave a lot of lies and defaults unchallenged, but when everything heated up, this is the stuff that was stirred up. So maybe speak to that and why even I feel like this came, your book came out 2 years ago, but even now it's even a more fresh challenge for us.
Yes, absolutely. I remember, you guys remember March 13th or so when it was, then all the kids came home from school and we're going to, you know, take the 2 weeks to flatten the what curve. Did we call it? The curve, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody on that night ran to the grocery store and stocked up on the toilet paper. And there was one other thing I noticed in everybody's cart, and that was alcohol. And I remember before anyone started talking about, oh my goodness, I started drinking so much more, or I started eating so much more. I remember seeing it before it even started, that everybody started buying alcohol. I mean, it wasn't a party. We were all stressed. And without even thinking through the stress, we were grabbing, you know, the Nutter Butters and the bottles of wine. And I just, and then, of course, remember during that time, you were either making a starter for your homemade sourdough bread or making banana bread. I hear that banana bread was the food of 2020. It was like the most popular food of 2020. Just naturally, and I think, Susie, you said it just now, it was already in us. Our coping mechanisms were already there in place. We just never needed to cope so badly. So when you turn up the heat on the crucible, all of our coping mechanisms come to the surface. But what God wants to do when we're in the crucible of hard times is he wants to crank it up, and he wants to bring the dross to the surface, right? And he wants to wipe it off. He wants to refine us in the process. So I love, Susie has said now multiple times, this isn't condemnation. This is an invitation. And then this last time she went on to say, it's an invitation to transformation. And that's exactly what it is. So if even this conversation is bringing to the surface, yes, I turn to sugar. Yes, I turn to lattes all day long and leftover brownies. And why did I make another batch of brownies last night? Why did we have to do that? And then I eat them for the next few days. If all of these thoughts are coming to the surface for you, let them come like impurities to the surface of your life. Allow the Lord to whisk them off and purify you in the process so that you can be pure gold. This is wonderful. So let's just take a moment to thank him for the conviction. Yeah. And not condemnation, but the conviction. So, Lord, we take a moment to just thank you, Holy Spirit, for stirring up in our hearts an awareness that this conversation is for me, that this is what I run to during my days and my nights to get me through and help me cope the wine and the sugar and the treats. And just maybe it's not even sugar. Maybe it's just the constant eating and the desire to fill that emptiness, to fill that hole. Lord, I just pray a special blessing that those who are convicted would feel your courage, Lord, to say yes and step forward and lay those things down for 40 days, God, because with you, it's possible, even if it feels impossible. And I pray that as they maybe lose weight, that they gain faith, that they drop what they've been holding on to and have open hands to receive you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. He is the sweetest. Amen.
Hallelujah. One of the things I love about this show is spontaneous prayer. So the fact that you just broke out just makes my day. I love that so much. We just have a moment left, Wendy, and a question for you. My last question is, what do you know about the Lord now that you didn't know 5 years ago?
Oh, man. Such a good question. I remember getting to the end of my very first sugar fast. And what I learned then is what I continue to learn layer after layer after layer, which is the sugar was just the doorway that I invited God into my life in a way I had not before. And he came in and he looked around and he said, thanks for the sugar, but I want it all. I want it all. And so these last 8 years of doing this annual fast has been such a privilege to lead others, but on a personal note, every time we get to this time of year, I say, okay, Lord, but you want it all. So what else am I turning to? Of course, I turn to my phone. I say, I love you most, Lord, but I turn to my phone more. I say, I want you to show me that with you it's possible, but really with another cup of coffee it's possible. So I'm laying that down. And really, I just want more and more of him.
The time is up, Wendy. I pray you'll come back. It was such a fantastic conversation. And friends, I pray you found some encouragement today as well. Don't forget to text the word event if you want to join us in studio next week with Dr. Troy. I sure love and appreciate you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.